MECE, maybe?
CRE.
Moore? Oh, maybe it's Moore.
Could be, Jim Moore. Okay, FIDO remediation, ENG. Okay, well, we'll put this at the bottom of the list. All right, the next 10, Chris O'Connor, Pat Hoffer, Kay Mercer, Ray Allen, Ellen Tresca, Steve Carter, Roger, these glasses don't work, it's the other ones.
Dolezal.
Roger Dolezal and Fred Chamberlain. Okay. Is that 10? 7, 8. How about two more? John Salisbaum?
Salisbury.
Okay. Salisbury. And Jay Fitzhugh. Okay. Joy Fitch. Okay.
All righty.
And I've met Joy before, so that's kind of embarrassing. All right. Here we go.
Hi, my name's Chris O'Connor. I'm with the Central Coast Vineyard team. I appreciate the opportunity to address the board today. Real quickly, I want to thank the staff for their recognition of the Sustainability in Practice Vineyard Certification Program to qualify as a low-risk operator. And just to clarify some things that were stated earlier, SIP certainly does address stormwater, and I can certainly back that up with some documentation. But I think what's also really important for people to realize is that there are non-certified people that legitimately fall into low-risk categories in terms of their pesticide, nutrient management, tailwater issues, cover cropping over winter. There are lots of people out there in terms of risks to water quality that might not be certified. I want to go back to the process. I was involved with the stakeholder panel, and we all agreed on a lot of things, and this has been brought up several times today. We agreed that the current waiver was essentially a quote-unquote a productive program. We agreed in prioritizing based on actual water quality risks and proximity to hot spot water quality areas. We all agreed on enforcement. So, I'm concerned that we sit here and there's such a disconnect between what this collaborative process essentially agreed upon, ag and environmental, and what ended up with the staff proposal. There are serious problems in terms of feasibility, in terms of, and there are also some serious technical concerns, so I would encourage you to pay attention to the UC comments, CDFA, and DPR. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm told that one should present their bona fides first. First, I'm elderly, which by definition means I'm wise. My name is Pat Hopper, and I'm the manager for the California Artichoke Advisory Board for the past 10 years. Previously, marketing director for Ocean Mist Farms for 12 years, and on the Monterey Water Pollution Control Board for 10 years. I have been directed as manager of the California Artichoke Advisory Board to say that the proposals from the Central Coast Regional Water Control Board will definitely impact the artichoke industry in a negative way. We therefore support the proposals, the alternate proposals, from the California Farm Bureau, Western Growers, and the Grower Shippers Associations as realistic and positive for growers and the environment. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Hello, I'm Kay Mercer with the Central Coast Ag Water Quality Coalition, and I have heard a lot said here about collaboration today. In fact, I came in a little late during Roger Briggs' presentation, and I was actually fairly surprised by his presentation, because The coalition is supposed to be about collaboration. We have found it impossible to execute our mission in today's political environment. So in that spirit, I would like to encourage the regional board to set aside the proposal from staff, because it is far from collaborative. It is far from anything that involved multi-stakeholder. It was not brought forth in a fair, equitable, and transparent manner. Please use the basis of the conditional waiver as a basis of the conditional waiver. The proposal that was brought forth by agriculture, because it was collaborative. It did involve multiple stakeholders, and it does address water quality. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Young, Chairman Young, and members of the board, my name is Robert Dolezal with the California Association of Nurseries and Garden Centers, representing the more than 600 nurseries, greenhouse, and cut flower producers in Region 3 that produce about $1.3 billion at retail and employ about 54,000 people in your region. If you wanted the attention of our industry, singling our crop out as a focal point in the provisional plan was certainly an excellent way of accomplishing that objective. One of the things that we found were a number of indictments of our industry that, upon further probing into the scientific data, simply did not bear up to fact. There's talk in the discussions of tens of thousands of pounds of chlorpyrifos and diazinon being used by our industry. The actual number for all of our region-wide use is 4,051 pounds in a peak in 1996, down to 937 pounds of chlorpyrifos. Diazinon dropped from 1,952 pounds to 248 pounds. And that's typical of the data that doesn't exist to support this plan. I thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you, staff and members of the board. My name is Ellen Truscott, and I represent the Eugene Leroy Trust, which owns about a dozen agricultural properties in the Santa Maria Valley. I asked a senior colleague about this brewing controversy in the Central Coast region over the ag waiver, and she said, wait, don't you mean the Central Valley? The Central Coast region is renowned statewide for having this collaborative process and for having a successful round of ag waiver in its initial phase, and it's unsettling to see it taking a turn for the worst. Real quickly, to address a question about CEQA and how it applies to the board's decision in this case, I think any proposal that would conflict with zoning and Williamson Act contracts would require an EIR in this case. And there's also authority that any direct socioeconomic impacts affected by a proposal such as this should be considered under CEQA, where it's not just an attenuated indirect effect on a potential economic element. It should be addressed under CEQA in an EIR. These buttons say, don't wave agriculture goodbye. I encourage the board to take a close look at Water Code Sections 13267, 269. It's a waiver. These are not general waste discharge requirements. In fact, the entire purpose of a waiver is to, quote, that, quote, no report of a waste discharge need be filed. The board should make findings under Section 13241 and 13263 if, indeed, waste discharge requirements are to be imposed in this case. And I encourage the board to take a look at the extensive data and interpret the extensive data that's already been collected and successfully coordinated under the existing waiver. Thank you.
Thank you.
Steve Carter, alfalfa and wine grape grower in Paso Robles. To the old saying that the road to hell is paved with good intentions, a British writer recently added, unless government is involved. And as we are somewhat less cynical, we'll give our public servants by their very presence here today the benefit of the doubt and presuppose that all parties present have the same goal. And that goal can be stated many ways, but I would prefer to understand it as the desire to leave our local community and environment in a better condition than when we found it. I think that it's fair to say that most in the room would describe today's business climate as the most challenging that many have ever faced. Throw in inconsistent weather and topsy-turvy labor markets, and you can throw out consistent farm income. Now, as farmers, growers, ranchers, businessmen and women, and most importantly, residents of the Central Coast, many of us are both incredulous and somewhat angry that our own Water Quality Control Board is choosing to act at this time in such a heavy-handed way. Those of us who have studied and tried to digest the proposed new regulations regarding water usage in agriculture have found them to be inordinately cumbersome and generally ignorant of the current farming climate, especially galling to all growers of the cost in time and money associated with compliance to the draft proposal that can only be described as punitive in nature and that will do very little to ensure a cleaner environment. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Mr. Hunter, board, Ray Allen representing San Luis Obispo County Cattlemen. We drafted a letter to you. It's on your file. I was on the original advisory board for the 2004 group and also on the recent one. The comment that Mr. Hoppen made has certainly come close to home to me. Collaborative approach is what we hoped to do when we went into that ag panel, or the advisory panel, and what we got hit with was a hammer. And the staff was totally inflexible. There was no discussion. If some of the comments that the staff has agreed to here apparently through their presentation today were forthcoming at that point in time, we might not be having this meeting today because there was no sense of collaboration whatsoever. I would urge you to bear that in mind. If you can't come to see fine-tuning the original waiver and give it a chance to run, which it was doing, and you haven't had time to really establish a trend for it anyway, and if you can't do that, then seriously consider the proposal brought before you for the Farm Bureaus. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Fred Chamberlain. I manage a ranch in northern Santa Barbara County. I appreciate the opportunity to appear before you, ladies and gentlemen of the board, and I fully appreciate the fact that you individual members are putting the effort that you are into helping improve Central Coast water quality in a, let me say, pro bono manner, and that's exemplary. I cannot say the same thing about staff. The state of California is broke. The unemployment rates in the state of California and northern Santa Barbara County are unacceptable. One of the things that shows what's happening is the fact that there's a staff here that you cannot direct them what to do. You cannot direct them what to produce. And they have produced something that is going to really raise the unemployment rate in this area of California. It's really a shame. This is a prime example of why the state of California is broke. I have limited confidence in the staff assessment of the problem. Their assessment needs peer review. I would suggest you use UC Davis. One of the things that is an example is they use a sample of 30,000 gallons a day. It was spread over 12 acres and it didn't impact the water quality. Well, no kidding. 30,000 gallons is a tenth of an acre foot. And when you spread it over 12 acres, that's less than a hundredth of a foot, which is less than an eighth of an inch. You run that for a year, that's less than 3 feet. The evaporative rate of a body of water where I live is more than 3 feet a year. Salinas Valley is hotter and the wind blows more. So I'll just leave you with that.
Thank you.
Afternoon, John Salisbury. I'm a sixth-generation farmer. Our family's in farms since 1850 up in the Sacramento Delta. It's going on 160 years. And we wouldn't be still in the business if it wasn't for our stewardship of the ground. I personally farmed throughout Sacramento Valley, San Joaquin Valley, Imperial Valley, and also down on Los Mochis tomatoes. Now I'm proud owner of some pristine ground just down the street in Avila Beach, where we grow vineyards, and we have 80% of the production out of there, and we control the other 20% through marketing. I guess I don't get it. We're doing everything you want you to do, but it's never enough. I've educated myself. I got a couple of degrees in agriculture. I'm a certified arborist. I've got UC Master Gardeners. I've done your water board program. I've done the positive points. And we are about 98% organic because we are on a little tight valley. We have multi-million-dollar homes on both north and south, interstate freeway with 60,000 cars going by on the east border, Steelhead Endangered Creek on the west border, a charter school on the southwest corner, and joggers and bicyclists on the county road. So we've never used an insecticide. We have not used herbicides for 8 years. We have cut our fertilizer. We haven't done any fertilizer for 2 years, and we're switching over to organic. Our herbicide is organic mineral oil, so we're doing all the things you want us to do, and I could probably get away with the low-risk assessment person, but you got this 1,000-foot setback, which would wipe out half my vineyard. So it doesn't make a lot of sense, especially when we don't have any tailwater. We have a nutrient plan. We have a pesticide plan. We don't have any pesticides. So when you get these buffers built in, you completely wipe out production for a lot of us and wipe out our vineyard. You know, we got $1 million invested in it. You're going to take half of it away. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Joy.
Good evening. And John Joy Fitzhugh, and thank you, Chairman Young and board members, for listening to us today. I want to say that even though I'm mostly a cattle rancher, I'm probably one of the smallest row crop producers in the whole region with my 2 acres. And just as a little factoid, if this draft order remains unchanged, my 2 acres will go back to grazing. The setbacks, the reports, the technical requirements with the various certified advisors, the engineers, the biologists for the riparian, I will not be doing row crops in the future. So I'm hoping that you will go back. You will take a good look at the agricultural alternative. You will also do a collaborative effort such as you did with the original 2004 waiver, which I was part of the ag panel, and we did struggle in the beginning. But we came together, agriculture, the environmental community, and the board and the staff, and I hope you'll do it again. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I'll read off the next group of 10. Get one of the glasses on. Okay, Laura Mills, Bob Martin, Mike Broadhurst, Bill Tarp, Robert Stoller, Steve Jordan, April Mackey, Raleigh Cavalletto, George Adam, Lisa Bedraji.
Good afternoon, Chairman Young and members of the board. Last time I stood before you to testify, I was Laura Plaskett. I've since been married. I was also then consultant to the Salinas River Channel Coalition and Central Coast Water Quality Preservation, Inc. I was consulting at the time to growers and landowners and shippers on food and workplace safety as well as agricultural environmental compliance. Since 2007, I've been working for Metz Fresh as Director of Food and Workplace Safety, and I've also been a member of the Farm Food Safety and Conservation Network, representing Metz Fresh and our growers on issues of co-management of food safety and conservation practices on farm. As a consultant to Central Coast Water Quality Preservation, Inc., I was one of the leads in implementing the 2005 Ag Waiver Program, and I would encourage the board to direct staff to include an educational component in whatever program you, whatever waiver program you do adopt, and that it do include a requirement for co-management of conservation and food safety practices. Thank you.
Thank you.
Board members, my name is Steve Jordan. I'm a farmer in Lompoc, an artichoke farmer, and a water board member. Claim to fame, we are the first artichoke patent in the world, and we've just got 5 new artichoke patents. And if you've been eating artichokes locally at the stores, you're welcome. And so anyway, as a lay board, I'm on a water board in Lompoc and San Jose River. As a lay board, you're not supposed to be legal experts. You're not supposed to be engineering experts. You're supposed to look at things reasonable. And the opposite of reasonable is absurd. I'm in Lompoc, and the packet came out saying that Lompoc has a problem with nitrates in the river. And just 2 years ago, the same regional board passed on Lompoc Regional Wastewater Treatment Plant, where they identified Lompoc as a source of nitrates. Is it the farmers, or is it the other place? And in your ccwhatever.org, I surfed it, and there's a city, the wastewater treatment plant, and downstream I am. Well, guess what? Between the wastewater treatment plant and my farm, the nitrates go down. The farmers actually reduce the amount of nitrates in the river, which is kind of strange. As a water board member, I'll tell you that it's very difficult getting full compliance, and thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Bill Tarp. I'm farm as Triangle Farms in the northern part of the Salinas Valley, and we grow vegetables and strawberries. And my short point today would be to invite you individually to come and visit me before the next July meeting and see what we've done over the last 25 years to reduce water use, reduce nitrate use on our farms. And you can find my name and address in the letter that I wrote to your board. And I hope that you'll look at other letters from other farmers and ranchers and call them up and ask to go see what they've done over the last 25 years to improve their water quality. I think it'll open your eyes. And we welcome you to please call us. And you can also call the local farm bureaus, and they can set up tours if you need them. But I ask you to please call me, Bill Tarp, Triangle Farms, and I will be glad to give you a tour of our operation. Thank you. Thank you.
Good evening. Mike Broadhurst and my wife and I own and operate a small farm near Cambria. Making a living farming today is always difficult, particularly for smaller farmers. Many I know have given up and now work jobs in towns and cities to maintain a lifestyle. Yet farming is still at the heart of San Luis Obispo County, and many residents are clamoring for local food that is disappearing due to the vice grip hold big food companies have on what most Americans call food. The proposed order would add cost to farming operations in an effort to deservedly assure clean water for all residents. Nonetheless, costs would be most noticeable for the smaller farms. The rub is that the small growers have no way to pass on additional costs. The big food companies will just find cheaper produce from Mexico or South America or wherever, because price at the supermarket is prime for most Americans. Therefore, local farmers will have to eat the cost and further lower margins in an area, that is this local area, with the highest farming costs in the world. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is April Mackey, and I am a grower in the Salinas Valley for Martin Jefferson & Sons. I manage our food safety, water quality, and organic programs. I also am the district director for the statewide California Women for Ag and represent the Central Coast, as well as the district director for Young Farmers and Ranchers at the statewide level. As a grower, I actually have one of my PCAs and my fertilizer salesman that is with me today to make one of my points, since he's definitely more educated on that point than I am. But first of all, I'd like to state that after hearing the testament from Abby Taylor Silva from Grower Shipper Association and David Costa, who's a past chair of GSA and Farm Bureau board member, it sends a pretty clear message that ag and ag products will cease to exist if the staff's recommendations are accepted by the regional board. A majority of the commodities that feed this nation and other nations originate from California. Do you and other Americans want to rely on foreign food? Let's not turn to the contentions that foreign oil has created, but let us look to the reliability of receiving a safe, healthy, and dependable food supply. This proposal has the ability to take out tens of thousands of acres of agricultural land, thereby reducing thousands of jobs. I know that we gave you numbers already, but one more number that was not mentioned, that in Monterey County alone, when you include the three watersheds that Abby talked about in her study, that would take out 1.29 billion of pounds of lettuce production a year when that's applied to the 14,000 acres. People throughout our state and nation would depend on the Central Coast for their fresh and healthy food supply, so don't take away our ability to feed people with the healthiest, most nutritious food that there is in a time that we are facing the most serious obesity epidemic in society. This current generation of young people is the first in its state that has a shorter life expectancy than their parents. So please don't take away our ability to dwindle this.
Can you wrap it up?
One last major flaw that I see in the staff's proposal is the requirement for the certified crop advisor to create and certify a nutrient management plan. And so I've asked my fertilizer provider real quick to make a statement.
Actually, Bob Martin asked me to make a couple statements. He had to leave. But I just wanted to indicate that as a certified crop advisor since 1992, it has been to all the technical requirements to do what you're requiring to do is an impossible job. There is not enough technical people in the field to handle the process you're talking about. The other thing is my family settled in the Salinas Valley in 1848. We're fifth generation. I've got a daughter at Cal Poly right now, and I have to ask her seriously, is agriculture where she wants to be? Thank you.
So I just thank you, and I'd like you to consider the ag's proposal that you guys all have in front of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, I have a couple cards in there. My name is Bill Coy. I'm a former supervisor of San Luis Obispo County, and I'm also a former member of the California Avocado Commission. My family has lived here since 1949 in Cayucas, residing on Santa Rita Creek Road and now Cottontail Creek Road. My father-in-law was the first to commercially plant citrus in this county. We raise avocados and oranges and manage to just get by. If the proposed waiver regulations were in place when we started, we just couldn't do it. We couldn't get going, period. The proposed buffer zones would take too much land, and the other regulations would be all-encompassing and too expensive and unreasonable. Your staff has made this statement that the region uses way too much fertilizer and chemicals. It's quite an impressive map. We're not on there. Who are you talking about? We are not the Salinas Valley. You know, you're painting the whole region with a broad brush, and that's the problem I have with these requirements. We are not polluting. Prove it. To require every single farmer in our area to pay for the problems of the larger operations is unfair and is just flat wrong. You need a more selective approach, and it's been suggested that we have a tiered approach. And I think that's a good idea. In my basin in Cayucas, if it's polluted, then go to the point source. Let's do some point source testing. Let's find out where it's coming from. But it's not. Doesn't this sound more fair than the broad brush approach? This regional approach is ineffective, punitive, and extremely bureaucratic. There's no science to your conclusions on many pesticides and proposed stream buffers. Why do we have ag commissioners? There is no proof that we are degrading the stream environment in our area. I contend that we are making it better. Break your region up into smaller districts, into watersheds. Just go by watersheds. If there are problems, find the problem and do point source testing.
Can you wrap it up, please?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got a lot more here. I was one of those that raised his hand for so much more time. But Anyhow, just don't throw out the baby. Just don't kill the goose that's been laying all these golden eggs all these years. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you. There's so many of us small farmers that have no tailwater. We have drip irrigation systems. We use what we apply. We're just not impacting the streams the way you think we are. Thank you.
Hello, I'm George Adam with Innovative Produce in Santa Maria. We're a large vegetable grower about a mile west of Santa Maria, right in the heart of the nitrate belt, I guess. I'd like to go over some of these issues that we've had, and I want to say thank you for your time. I know this is a long, arduous issue and subject to a lot of litigation, possibly, and it involves a lot of things.
Don't say that.
I am the eternal optimist, for those who know me, and that's why I'm here. I want to try to head some of this stuff off. DMDLs in the Santa Maria waterways have been on a steady downward trend over the past 10 years due to the increasing use of drip irrigation and a vast array of other production technologies. Concentrations of all salts and pollutants have gone up in the surface waterways and will most likely continue to rise due to the increasing water temperatures, increasing water evaporation percentages, and increasing amount of time that all the waterways spend without significant flow. All of these trends increasing due to the reduced discharge volumes. Staff seems to refuse to understand this relationship. Once the flows have been stabilized, only then can a reduction of concentration be achievable. The current situation places growers in a catch-22 where the more they reduce discharges, the worse the concentration aspect becomes. I'd like you all to think about that for a while. Anyway, policies that apply in the Salinas watershed should be substantially different than those established for Santa Maria watershed, due to the fact that the ECs of irrigation water in the Salinas area are substantially less than one, and the ECs of irrigation water in the Santa Maria area are substantially greater than one. Setting a policy that promotes no discharges will only serve to increase salt buildup in the underground, and then you'll have even worse problems with nitrate because you'll be salting the soil even more, and you'll end up in a snowball downhill. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you. So what happened to Raleigh Cavalletto? Not here, okay. And then Lisa Bedragi? Okay. They're not here. Next group.